Grande Raad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. All glorious assembled devotees, all glorious Sri Guru and Sri Ganga, all glorious Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Niti Ananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai Shri Shri. As I understood, Chapter 5, Canto 5, verse 7. Please repeat. Yada napashyam nyata guneham. Svarta pramata ahasa vipashit. Gata smriti vindati tatra tapam asyada maitunyam agaram magya. Yadana patyati ayata guneham. Svarte pramata sahasa vipashit. Gata smritir vindaiti tatra tapam. Asadya maitunyam agaram adya. Yadana payati ayata gunaham svarte pramata ahat upashit gata smritir vindata tatra tapam asadya madhuryam naham agyam. Smritir vindati tatra tapam asatya maituram agaram avtya yada pasyati prata guneham. Yadana pasyati apam punyam. Smarte pramata mahasya rupashi. Shata yata kuneham Svarte pramata sahasa vipasir Kata smritir vindati tapas maha Nasatamai tunyamagara magya Yada when Na, not. Pasyati, sees. Ayuta, unnecessary. Guna iham, endeavor to satisfy the senses. Sva arthe, in self-interest. Pramataha, mad. Sahasa, very soon. Vispashit, even one advanced in knowledge. Gata smriti, being forgetful. Vindati, gets. Tatra, there. Tapan, material miseries. Asadhya, getting. Maitunyam, based on sensual intercourse. Sexual intercourse. Agaram, a home. Agya, being foolish. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. Purport. In the lowest stage of devotional service, one is not an unalloyed devotee. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. To be an unalloyed devotee, one must be freed from all material desires and untouched by fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. On the lower platform, one may sometimes be interested in philosophical speculation with a tinge of devotion. However, at that stage, one is still interested in sense gratification and is contaminated by the modes of material nature. The influence of Maya is so strong that even a person advanced in knowledge actually forgets that he is Krishna's eternal servant. Therefore, he remains satisfied in his household life, which is centered around sexual intercourse. Conceding to a life of sex, he agrees to suffer all kinds of material miseries. Due to ignorance, one is thus bound by the chain of material laws. Om Agyanatim Randascha, Shinanjala Salagya, Chakshuru Militam Yema, Tasmai Sri Guru Venimaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with a torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Panchakapadrubhishcha kripasambhyebhishcha patitana pavanebhyo vaisnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. was a little bit surprised this morning when I heard that also it is Jiva Goswami's appearance day. I had taken care that it was Vamana Deva's appearance day, but I didn't take in consideration Jiva Goswami's appearance day, which doesn't matter. We can have it an intellectual end of the class. It will be three classes in one. I will start with the purport of this Srimad Bhagavatam. Honor a little bit of Vamana Deva's appearance day and end by asking you some questions and see what we can get together regarding Jiva Goswami. This chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam gives a description of Bhagavad Dharma. The religious principles in devotional service that transcend religion in the kind of artha, dharma, karma, kama, and moksha, even. Or the religion that is focused on liberation and mitigation of material misery. The idea of Bhagavad Dharma is that by performing devotional service, one can gradually purify one's consciousness. And that is the idea, to attain the goal for which we are all looking, which means eternal happiness. Happiness we can find in the material world, that's not a big problem. But the happiness we can find in the material world is always mixed, is always alternating with all miseries. It's not continuing. It is not everlasting happiness, which after all is what we are seeking for by nature. And the main reason for this, and this will be clear in the next verse, which I also was first preparing until I found out that today was verse 7. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Why? Because it is the basic principle of duality. Two. There are no male souls or female souls. Mama, if I'm so. We're all eternal part and parcels of Krishna without this criterion of being male or female. Being male or female is in fact the basic principle of duality, of mechanism. It's mechanics. It is some kind of conditioning around our soul, but pure mechanically. Biochemical processes that condition our authentic awareness, our authentic consciousness. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddeshe dunatistati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all beings who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. And the more we identify with that machine made of material energy, the more we are entangled in sense gratification, in material condition. Two days ago, there was a Radhastami, and Loknath Swami was speaking about Radha and Krishna. Isn't that a duality? Are Radha and Krishna not a duality? And in essence, Maharaj used the word ekatma. No, they are not at all. They are, as a matter, one, but personified by two individuals? No, by two persons. Just as one could say, are fire and heat a duality? Are water and wetness a duality? No, they are not. The dharma of water is wetness. The dharma of fire is heat. And in that way, they are one entity. And this is what dharma tries to evoke. The other day, I was told Hinduism is a world religion. As a matter of fact, Hinduism is no world religion. Hinduism is a way of life. World religion means that there is one scripture, that there is one authority, which is not the fact for Hinduism. But what Hinduism represents is Sanatan Dharma, which means the eternal duty of a conditioned soul for self-realization. In fact, becoming unceasingly happy. That's our main duty in life. That's what we have to strive for. That's what we have to look for. That's what we have to make all our endeavor should be in function of that goal, that aim. Unceasingly become happy. And as a matter of fact, which Maharaj also said, as Radha and Krishna are not a duality, but separated personalities representing the same energy. More precise, Krishna is the energetic and Radha is the energy. Just as fire is the energetic and heat is the energy. Nevertheless, they became one in the figure of Lord Chaitanya. Swarup Damodar has described this in one verse which is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, saying, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Lord of my heart. He is the form of Ekatma, the oneness of Srimata Radharani and Sri Krishna. That is whom Lord Chaitanya represents. And as such, by following Lord Chaitanya, we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the main scripture is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is all stories and histories of Radha and Krishna. Mainly Krishna and the gopis. Radha is somewhere hidden into it. But their divine love is what the Srimad Bhagavatam translates into sound, into shabda, which we can perceive. The body, as a matter of fact, is just like a kind of camera. When we go to a movie as a member of the audience and the picture starts, ordinary life is forgotten. No, oh, tomorrow I have to do this and yesterday that and this has to go to there. And whatever troubles we have in our ordinary daily life are forgotten. We are absorbed by that which the film or the performance imposes on us. But in a movie, only two senses are included, which is visual. We can see and hear the sound of the film. Our body is more sophisticated. It's not just an ordinary camera. It also gives us taste impressions and smell impressions. And we can feel with this machine that gives us impressions mechanical impressions. And it is even so strong that these impressions influence us that they seem to be real. And that in fact we identify with the seemingly impressions. And even more, a cameraman has to push the button, has to arrange the lens in a good distance. But the machine of our body is more perfectionated. We only have to desire, and lenses are focused, and wow, I see something, and immediately focus goes there. All senses are on one point, only because we desire it. So in fact, it's a perfect machine. So real that we intend to identify with all the perceptions, all the impressions that it imposes on us. And that is the danger of this bodily machine. And that we get attracted to certain impressions and want more of them. And that we get distracted from other impressions and want to avoid them. That is the danger of material life. That we forget that in fact all these impressions are nothing but illusion. The dance of Maya, so attractive, but we get indulged in it, and as such forget our authentic position, that of a observer, that of a living being, because that is what in fact we are, the Purusha in this Prakriti, the life-giving energy in this. And that is why Srimad Bhagavatam, and specifically this verse, also says, don't give too much attention to these impressions of this very perfect machine called body, male or female, whatever. It's mechanics. It's not real. It is real, but it is illusionary. It conditions us, and as such, makes that our happiness is not unceasing, because we get attracted, because we get distracted by the impressions of this machine, we forget our authentic position of being unceasingly happy. So I'll try to elaborate a little bit on that. What kind of energies are working here? How do they manifest themselves? The Lord has many different energies, but mainly they are grouped, categorized in three kinds of energy. There is the internal energy, which is the Lord Himself, Krishna. Eternal obviousness. And most important, happiness. Please. Namayavam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. And from that Lord, that eternal Lord, we are little parts and particles. We have the same quality. And this is our good fortune, but also our bad fortune. Because accordingly, we have free will. The Lord being eternal, internal energy, we being parts of that internal energy, we are described as marginal energy. Whereas the machinery, earth, water, air, fire, ether, is known as Vishnu. Radha Gopinath's external energy. The main energy is the higher energy. The other are secondary energies. And if we look at it in our own lives, the main energy is the life-giving principle. And the secondary energy is the machine by which we are conditioned. This method that we keep alive, a body without this internal energy, is dead matter. We are the life-giving principle in the body, but clearly distinguished from the body. And that is precisely, exactly what so many people often forget. And as such, they wander around from one machine in another, from one planet to another, seemingly eternally. And again, two descriptions. One kind of jivas. Jiva gives, means life-giving. Two kinds of, to remain alive. Exactly, sorry, that's it. To remain alive is the verbal root of jiva. This marginal energy, there are two kinds of jivas. There are jivas that never got conditioned by matter, by the external energy, that always understood their role as servant, as relative, related to the absolute internal energy, and as such, supreme. And they are called internally liberated. But as I said, as we are, Mama Evam So Jiva Loke, Jiva Buddha Sanatana, eternal, separated, small little parts and particles of Krishna, the original energy, we have the same qualities, and as such, free will. And from the moment that this free will just even desires to independently enjoy Krishna's creation, swallowed by Maya, external energy, forgetting our authentic position immediately. Just this desire has to be there, and Maya captures us, makes us forgetful of our authentic position. Of all eternal conscious beings, there is one authentic, absolute, original, and many relative or related jivas entities. We're all conscious, we're all eternal, but from all eternal and conscious beings, there is only one absolute, one origin, and that is Krishna. Eternally liberated souls are aware of that, are fully aware of that, and follow the rules and regulations as prescribed by the absolute authentic person, being Krishna. Thanks to scripture, thanks to sadhus who know scripture, some eternally conditioned souls get in contact, get the knowledge of the authentic position. And that is the function of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we identify too much with our mechanics, with the biochemical functions of this body, then we get indulged in sense gratification. And we think that all the impressions that this machine imposes on us are real, and that there is nothing else. But gradually, if we are lucky enough by meeting someone who knows better, and who is willing to explain us. And moreover, if we are willing to listen, then gradually, by performing devotional service, we can purify or re-purify our consciousness, reawaken our authentic position. It's like a fish. As a matter of fact, a fish has the capacity to swim by birth. So any living entity has the capacity to recover the authentic position. By birth and by birth and by birth and by birth and by birth, again and again. Until by free will, one living entity decides to go for it. Devotional service is mentioned here. Jnana karma anavrita. Material knowledge goes very far. And we have many, many libraries full of books of material knowledge. As a matter of fact, it is said by some that Vedic knowledge, Vedic way of thought, stood at the cradle of our Western philosophy. That the first Greeks very well knew Vedic knowledge came by Silk Road, which was the connection, the trade connection between the West and the East. And a lot of this knowledge came to the West and was known by the old Greeks. But not accepted by Roman hedonists at that time, because they liked to drink a lot and to eat meat. And as such, it was forgotten by this culture. But the idea at that time was, know thyself. Know who you are. This is a famous sloka from Greek way of thinking. Know thyself. And when we look now what became of that sloka, we have a lot of knowledge, mechanical knowledge, biochemical knowledge, how this material world functions in all its different aspects. But do we know who we are? Do you find in Western libraries guidelines to become yourself? Very little. Very little is said about being eternal. There are many doubts, maybe, maybe not, in speculation. There is no clarity, no obviousness. While in fact, as Shabda Scripture says, we have no doubts, we have no questions, everything is evident. Eternally. This knowledge, this material knowledge, has no use, has no sense, misguides us. Real knowledge, as Srimad Bhagavatam brings to us, shows us what we need to know, that we are servants of Krishna, shows us how we need to act, dharma, in order to act as a servant of Krishna. And the result will be that there will be no more misery. The opposite, not knowing this, leads to misery. Material life, indulging in sense gratification, only purpose for life, collecting and have material experience that are seemingly nice, big house, nice family, dreams and ideals of so-called happiness, but so much misery is there as well. And then we get in the next step. Material life has three qualities. Material life has three modes. Material life is not only 24 elements, material life is also three qualities. And when we start suffering in the beginning, and when it is continuous suffering, it is said to be happiness or to be life in the mode of ignorance. And these old scriptures, this entire life of getting up in the morning, working hard to maintain this family, working hard to have so-called facilities for enjoyment, material enjoyment. As a matter of fact, if one really looks at it, it starts in misery and ends in misery. And it is without knowing the real aspect of eternal life. And in the best case, if it is not in ignorance, it might start with some happiness, some big house and some nice car, comfort, and some forgetfulness of misery. But nevertheless, after some time, the problems become so abundant that again it ends in misery. But when one makes the endeavor, when one makes the austerity, when one really does some efforts in order to overcome this misery, gradually one finds happiness. One will grow to the mode of goodness, also still an aspect of material life, but it's the first step in order to overcome it. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam try to explain to us. We can overcome this material conditioning, overcome these three modes of material nature, become our authentic obtain our authentic position again by listening, by performing devotional service, by being interested in transcendental knowledge, not speculative knowledge, not material knowledge, not biological, chemical, mechanical knowledge, but in transcendental knowledge, whom we are, and not how our conditioning is analyzable, but who we are that are being conditioned by that material energy. And that is real knowledge. And that is not anymore attached to material results. Jhana, karma, anavritam. And moreover, when it has the intention not only to know whom Krishna is, but moreover to please him, then we're on a good track. Then we make a good chance to overcome the material modes of nature. And become liberated again. I will make a little jump because it's getting late. I have found in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna Samhita. He explains how the three energies, or the three aspects of spiritual energy, which are Sandim, Samvit, and Ladini, in other words, eternity, Sat, Chit, knowledge, but real knowledge, not speculative knowledge, and that what we all are seeking for, Ladini, happiness, the main energy, how they are translated into the three modes. Because they are there. We are Satchitananda. When we are Satchitananda in the mode of tamas, not knowing, not wanting to know, suffering in the beginning, suffering in the end, we consider that souls are being born from matter. Everything is matter. And once the fetus is starting to grow, consciousness somewhere in the history, in this biography, starts also evolving as a biochemical combination. That's what people in the mode of ignorance consider to be life. Knowledge is illusionary. It is instinctive, often euphoric. Many philosophers are good drinkers and whatever, users of drugs and I don't know what, wherever they get their inspiration. But the knowledge which they get is quite euphoric. And this goes on as being very elevated knowledge, but in fact it's knowledge in the mode of ignorance. Happiness in the mode of ignorance. Ladini. Ananda in the mode of ignorance is based on delusion, degradation. It is blind to self-realization. And in fact it is miserable. The same being, Satchitananda, in the mode of passion. Sandhim, the knowledge. Knowledge in the mode of passion considers all living entities to be jivas, but rebirth is still doubtful. Reincarnation is difficult to accept. And if reincarnation would exist, it would only be there to bring us to a higher state of material happiness. In heaven, we don't eat on ordinary plates, we eat on from golden plates with golden spoons. Some difference is there, but still material happiness. Knowledge in the mode of passion is speculative. Aiming to exploit nature, that's exactly what the philosophers from positivism, Descartes and guys at that time said, control nature. The more we know about nature, the more we can control it. That's knowledge in the mode of passion. It's in order to fulfill material greed, to control it and to have more material fulfillment of desires. And the happiness in the mode of passion, so-called happiness, derived from sense gratification. As this verse explains very well. Family life, bigger car, nice house, nice garden, nice kitchen. Happily family members, always doing nice things. At least when we get to the mode of goodness, people in the mode of goodness accept impersonal Brahman realization and even as being the jivas, ultimate destination, become one. And in fact, Ananda does not mean happiness, but some kind of absence of any feeling at all, a peaceful mood. No disturbance anymore, no suffering, but also no real bliss, which Lord Chaitanya says, bliss can also only be there if there is a relationship. If you can give it to someone another, if you can share it with one another, then there comes a relationship, sambandha, and then happiness becomes bliss because of that relationship, otherwise it's rather boring. Knowledge in the mode of goodness, it's cultural, it is elevated, mundane knowledge, but spiritual knowledge becomes visible. And happiness derived from the self, more or less free, because someone in the mode of goodness tried to avoid all sinful activities and as such gets rid of many sinful reactions. And at least this last platform of goodness and getting interest in spiritual knowledge and opting for, making by the free will the decision of detaching from all this material sense gratification, which is a free decision. It's an active verb. It doesn't go automatically. Brings us to the transcendental platform. Brings us back to our position as a servant of Krishna. A servant of Krishna in order to please Krishna. The longer the less with material aims, with speculative aims, accepting whatever Shastra says as being obvious. No more doubts, no more questions. In order to please Krishna, That is what Srimad Bhagavatam brings us. The process of Sanatana Dharma, aiming to devotional service. A little example, in fact, just to be very quick, going to Vamanadeva. He was the next incarnation after Nisringadeva, came Vamanadeva. And we have the example of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj being, so to say, from a demon family, completely material family, rich, power, politics, everything you can imagine being real material. Even his Guru Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami. And Vamanadev visited him. Why Bali Maharaj? Because he's a Mahajan. He's a big, great, big soul. And Vamanadev cheated him a little bit. Pushed him into devotional service. Was a little boy, innocent, looking. Not strong at all. Very weak. Entering the courtyard. But he was a Brahmana, a little Brahmana. And yeah, Kshatriyas ought to be very respectful to Brahmanas. So this little boy, Vamana, he said, can I ask you something? Begging. Sukracharya immediately smelled, oh, my position. This Vishnu, if I let him have his desire fulfilled, I'm lost. I'm sold. Where is my position then? If Bali Maharaj surrenders to Vishnu, I have nothing to say anymore. My authority will be gone. So Sukradev said, hey, Bali Maharaj, don't listen to this guy. Be aware. He looks to be very innocent, but he's not. Begging a little bit, two steps of land. But even Bali Maharaj, knowing this, even if he's Vishnu, it's my duty to fulfill the desires of this little Brahmana. So he said, okay. And Vamanadev said, okay, can I have two steps of land? Bali Maharaj said, yes, you can have two steps of land, three steps. Oh, that was a little bit too quick, it's three steps. But Vamanadev, first step, more than half of the universe was taken. Second step, he rounded it up, whole universe taken. Oh, he even touched with his feet, the outside of the universe. That's why we got the Ganga in this universe, this purifying river. But nevertheless, after two steps, he had already conquered the whole universe. So there was a problem. What about the third step? And Bali Maharaj immediately got the whole message of the Srimad Bhagavatam in 2 seconds. I said, whatever mechanical combination conditions me. It's yours. Take it. Put your foot on my head. I surrender. No more gyan, no more karma, anavritam. In order to please Vamanadeva, said, okay, you have right for your third step. The whole universe has been taken. Include me. And as such, as a matter of fact, he purchased. He received Lord Vamanadev as, how is this, bound, as he became the servant of Bali Maharaj. He remained in Bali Maharaj imperium. Just by surrendering to the Lord, there is a obligation to the Lord, to pure devotees. This was very brief, just giving an idea. But if you meditate on it for the rest of the day, it might have some use, because there is also Jiva Goswami, as also today is his appearance day. And I only remember, and that is why I need your help, I remember that Rupa Sunat and Sanatan Goswamis. The first time they went to, and even there I might be wrong, as I did not prepare it at all, they went to Prayag to meet Lord Chaitanya. But there were three. And I remember that the third person, oh, it could be that Rupa Goswami at first went not with Sanatan Goswami, but with somebody else, who was the father of Jiva Goswami. Am I right? Please. Yes. And he was the father of Jiva Goswami. But he didn't survive the journey. Is that correct? And Rupa Goswami took care of Jiva Goswami at that time. Anywhere later. Please add what I forgot to mention. Okay. Nevertheless, Jiva Goswami became one of the six Goswamis, residing in Vrindavan, writing books, compiling Lord Chaitanya's train of thought, as Lord Chaitanya didn't really write down very much. The six Goswamis did this in his place. Jiva Goswami, as such, was much younger than Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami became his spiritual master. He was very severe. That's what I also remember by heart. As one day, yes, there was a scholar coming to visit or even to challenge Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And both of them had said, well, okay, you're the strongest, you're the best. We will sign your paper. You conquered us. We are not able to give a better philosophy than you did. And Jiva Goswami, young, vivid, is that the word? Young boys are very enthusiastic. Said, oh, scholar, I will defend my spiritual master. I will conquer you, which he did. Reason for what? Rupa Goswami was quite upset. Sent Jiva away. Jiva went to the caves. Until Sanatan Goswami said, Rupa, what are you doing? And then he was called back. And later on he was sent to the caves again. And came back again and became Jiva Goswami, who wrote the Sandarbhas, which all students from the college sooner or later definitely will need. Huh? At least some stuff to meditate on. If there are any questions or any comments, please. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Pramana Dev ki. Jiva Goswami ki.